Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on digital, online, and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Jen, Adrian, Clayton, and Billy on the panel. We've got a crowded studio tonight.
We've got a very crowded studio.
And we like it.
It's all my multiple personalities here at once.
Oh, dear.
Goodness. Tonight on Songcatcher, we have a guest who's probably travelled a little bit further than many of our guests on the show.
She comes
from far.
In terms
of coming down tonight for a combination of babysitting today with appearing on this program before travelling back to the Barossa tonight.
It's hard work.
Yeah. Hard work.
It's all good.
Welcome, Sue Baker.
Thank you very much.
It's great. Whereabouts in the Barossa?
We live in Lindock. Yeah.
Far, far away.
Well, Lindock's the close part of the Barossa.
Yeah, that's right. There's a great discrepancy around if you ask people in the Barossa whether Lindock's actually part of the Barossa. So anyway, to all Barossans out there, hello.
Radio waves go that far?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you could start off by telling us a little bit about what opportunities are there for you to present your songs in that general region. I know you've mentioned wineries and cafes and a few open mics. What's the scene like? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's actually quite a vibrant scene. People up there would agree with me. I think there's a large grouping of people up there, musicians, and we get to enjoy a lot of fun together. There's, as you mentioned, there's a lot of wineries that do regular live music. Certainly the cafe scene up there are quite keen to support local musicians, etc. And we've open mics. We used to have the old Greenock Folk Club, but that's no longer. But, you know, there are places like that that have really encouraged musicians like myself and certainly younger musicians that are coming onto the scene now too.
So you don't have to do oompa?
No, we don't. Yeah, no, not at all.
What's the furthest you've travelled to do a gig?
In South Australia, probably Corn. Me and my band went up there 2 years ago. We entered the inaugural Corn Battle of the Bands, which was fabulous. They held that out at the racing club on a very cold August night, and we claimed three prizes out of that little competition, so that was good.
So well done, but I don't think you could run with the title cold August night.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. And just recently, the other one furthest away, just recently I have a sister who lives in a little tiny town called Captain's Flat near Queanbeyan in New South Wales, and I got to play at their little local RSL for a couple little sets. Yeah, that was good.
Because you were over visiting your sister? And
yep, that's
why
right,
not?
And why not?
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. Yeah. It's funny sometimes country people talk about it, and I'm going to call Lindock country, although it's really out of metro, I think, these days, really.
Yeah, getting there.
You talk to people about how far they travel, you know, we come to town pretty regularly, so that, you know, that's all right, but you talk to people in the city, go to the Barossa, oh, geez, I'll have to do a weekend to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you might as well. It's a nice place to be for a weekend.
It's a very nice place to be.
Yeah, perhaps if you visit the Barossa like I visit the Barossa, you do need to have a weekend.
So were you born there and you always
lived
there?
No. I was born in New South Wales in a little tiny town called Walker, up in the northern tablelands of near Tamworth.
Yeah.
My family moved to Sydney when I was only 4 or 5 years old.
Oh.
And then I moved in my mid-20s to South Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Barossa later on.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Why Barossa?
Well, we had raised our children in the Riverland. We lived in Loxton for about 11, 12 years or so.
Yeah.
And when they had finished their schooling, not that we wanted to necessarily follow them, but we started to sort of reappraise where we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And we moved then down to the Gawler, Barossa sort of area, Gawler first and then up to Lindock.
But a bit closer to the kids, essentially.
Yeah, that's worked out well. Although one of them's now living in Seattle, so yeah.
So we can have another move soon.
You encourage them to go to university, and then they get really clever and get snapped up by companies overseas. Yeah,
oh, maybe you could do a gig in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, I know.
See, there you go.
So you moved to Barossa, is it because of the music and the nature?
Yeah, more the nature, I guess. Nature. You know, the beautiful district that it is, and we bought some land there and fell in love with the place, really. Yeah. Great.
Hmm. And you play now either solo, or it's not either's the wrong word, solo, part of a duo, or with the band The Sourdoughs?
Yeah, it depends on what the venue's asking for, I guess.
What the budget is.
And what the budget is. More to the point.
And whether the bread has risen or not.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right, yeah. But we try and get as regular a gig for the full band as we can because, you know, to keep up our practice together as a band and keep the songs in the repertoire building. Mm.
So and when it's just a duo, who's the other part?
Barry Hocking is my lead guitarist. And he's a fabulous guitarist. He plays. He actually plays with quite a few bands himself. So I have to book him well ahead of time to make sure that he's in.
Yeah, it doesn't just depend upon the venue and how much they're paying and how big the sound is. It depends on who you can get.
That's right. And Barry will agree. If you're listening, Barry, it's always because of the good food that we also often get.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It makes it a much more pleasant thing, doesn't it, when you share a bit of bread, break a bit of bread together.
But he's a great guitarist, and together we've sort of worked out a bit of a style between us that supports my music really well. Obviously, we play my own originals, but we also play some other favourite covers of mine.
Mm. Yeah. And how big is the band?
Oh, it's four-piece. Mm. So there's Barry. We've got a drummer. He plays on electronic drums, actually, Ron Vanderswan, who's up in the Brosser. And we have a very young bass player, Melissa Glamachek. She's only 19. And she's a bit of a gem. We love having her with us. And it won't be long before she gets snapped up by some amazing jazz band or something, we imagine. But she's been great.
All right, well, we should probably start off with the music part of the evening with a track from your CD. This song's called Here I Am. You want to tell us a little bit about this?
Oh, yeah. Well, quickly, the story behind this is really that most of my songwriting has happened after breakfast, normally in just a bit of in breakfast, and then I'll... Yeah, traditionally sit around for a while. I'm no longer working in the paid workforce. We're retired. But, you know, even in those times when we really had to be getting away from home, you know, by 8 o'clock or thereabouts, you know, I'd have to get up early enough to be able to get at least a few songs in. So that's often when ideas would come. And so this song is really a bit of a reflection of that. Here I am writing songs, trying to come up with something new and different, but it's also interposed with this idea of love. It's also, you know, very much a love song too.
Well, let's have Here I Am.
At the breakfast table, here I am, pen songs if I'm able. You walk in, you walk in. Here I go, tune in my sixth string. Here I go. I look up.
Here I Am from Sue Baker. Very soothing. I feel like the sound, the feeling is so natural and very, very nice, very beautiful melody as well.
Oh, thank you.
You.
Oh, thank you.
I really like it.
And that was a track from the CD Bit of Earth, which you recorded at Stella Studios in Tanunda.
Stella Studios.
In 2010. Yeah. So how did that recording come about and who else was involved?
Well, how did it come about? I think I'd always, or maybe for the 5 years prior to that, you know, it was sort of a budding idea that I might get there at some point. And I'd started writing quite profusely, really. There was lots of songs starting to come out. And in many ways, I probably should just backtrack a little bit and sort of, you know, tell you how grateful I am to people. You know, when we moved down to the Gawler area, from the Riverland, all I'd been doing up to that stage is singing at home, playing some community stuff with some other women in the Riverland and things like that. And it was a very chance meeting when we moved into a place in Gawler that the neighbour across the road came over and said, would you like to come over and have afternoon tea with us? And I thought it was a very kind gesture. And that fellow ended up being Les Montangis. I don't know if you know of Les, but a great folky. And, you know, as chances would have it, his best mate, Terry Davenport, who was in the folk scene at the time too, and we became a trio.
Wow.
And, you know, it just sort of folded. You know, perhaps if that hadn't have happened, I might not have necessarily fallen into doing much more with my music apart from entertaining myself and the family. So some songs started to come out of that and after meeting other people too, I guess, through the Barossa music scene, a bit of encouragement. And certainly the Stella One Studios is Jamie Bletchenden and Vicky Bletchenden, and they're very much part of the Barossa music scene. And certainly there was always lots of encouragement with the idea to record. And I'm very grateful to have done that too.
Wow.
We did it over about 10 months. It was a bit of a slow process, and but very a very joyful experience.
Great. I guess you must be very happy for your move because you moved to a very like strong musical community.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Great.
And made lots of really good friends through that too.
So is it? Do they give you some inspiration in terms of writing songs as well?
My friends? Yeah, maybe. I think it's more my personal life and my views about the world and that are more the inspiration for my music, yeah. But who knows where it might ever come from? Who knows?
So do you always write like very folk songs?
I guess they probably fall into that genre more than anything else. Some influence of some blues sort of influences here and there, slight jazz tones occasionally.
So what do you think impact your songwriting? I mean, your music style or your lyrics,
well,
or melody?
Yeah. Thinking about things like blues and jazz during, I guess, the 70s and 80s, I was very much interested in jazz. I was listening to a lot of Miles Davis and Charlie Mingus and Charlie Parker and Nina Simone, Roberta Flack, people like that, and I really wasn't involved or really tuned in at all to the pop scene at all. So it's quite embarrassing whenever you go to a New Year's party and they've got all the pop tunes on. I've got no idea sometimes what they're playing. You know, so but I think some
of
that stuff has.
That's
right.
You missed out on disco.
But it's interesting, even thinking about some of the great pop artists and rock artists too. You even think about, you know, people like Jimmy Barnes now, who's now playing, you know, bordering on blues, jazz. Wonderful.
What about
so that's a big influence, I think, has come through in some of my music.
Mm. What about the older, more traditional kind of folk songs? You know, did you have a history of learning those?
No, not at all. Some of the Celtic stuff and things like that? No, not at all. No, that wasn't part of it. I guess originally music for me came out of high school, you know, choirs, doing things like that, learning to play you know, what I sloppily call a bit of guitar playing, I guess, but it's not all that great. But I learned to play very simple guitar in high school. Do you remember those days in high school? Some of us might remember where you had to do something general as part of your curriculum, and I picked guitar. And so learnt to play tunes like The Carnival Is Over and by The Seekers and all of the Peter, Paul and Mary. So I guess in terms of folk, there was some of those little influences happening. Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell, some of those things were happening.
Mm. Well, you've brought a guitar in, and so we're going to ask you to perform a song live in the studio. And I think the title of that song might give away one of your influences as well, because you're going to play a song called Wish I Had Some Blue Suede Shoes.
Oh, if only it had something to do with Elvis, but it really doesn't. But there you go. Yeah, so this one's called Wish I Had Some Blue Suede Shoes. It's more a love song and more around the idea of loss.
Yes. Slip my old blue jeans on my navy duffel too. Old blue scarf that mama made, wish I had those blue suede shoes. 'Cause I'm wearing heartache, wearing heartache, I'm wearing heartache blue. And
you're back with Songcatcher here on Radio Adelaide. And we've just been wishing, listening and wishing to Sue Baker. Wish I had some blue suede shoes. And I've just made this confession. When I was 16, I had a pair of blue suede go-go boots. So cool. Long time ago.
Don't still have them in.
No, that's long time ago.
You have a photo, I guess.
No.
Somewhere. That was beautiful.
Yeah, lovely song there.
Absolutely beautiful.
It came out of the fact after my mum passed, she had actually, or I went through with my other siblings, obviously, through her things and came across a scarf, a blue scarf that she'd knitted. I'd never actually seen it before, so she must have done it in her later years. But I took it and I sort of used it as something to put a song around. Yeah.
Oh, yep. Lovely. And I'm just wondering, so because this is your first album?
Yes.
And what do you think of making the album?
Oh, it's fabulous. I'd do it full time.
Yeah. So when's the next one?
Well, it was going to be this year, but the songwriting's been interestingly a little bit dry lately. So I've been working on a few songs lately, but it comes and goes, and every songwriter will probably tell you that you just got to wait for it. You can't force it.
Do you feel like you have a very strong sense of achievement when you saw your first album?
Oh, absolutely. I was very proud.
I guess we need to mention a little bit for your album cover, which is very stylish photo. So how did you choose the photo and make the album?
Well, I guess we love the outdoors and we'd always admired these beautiful boulders. I think they might be granite. I'm not sure. But they're down via near Tunkillo, near Palmer. And we'd often admired them on our way through to Murray Bridge and places down the highway. And we thought, that could be a good spot to go back and take some photos. And that's what we did. We jumped the fence. And
I like this story.
Stan, my partner, he took hundreds of photos and we just came back and sorted through them and came up with them. Yeah.
Very nice. Is it like a mesh with your album name? Bit of
There's earth? Part of that too. Yeah.
Why do you call this name for your album?
Well, it's the title track. So the main song of the album is Bit of Earth, and I couldn't think of a better name to title the album and tribute that song to.
Very nice.
So we're learning that you came to songwriting a bit later in life than than other people that we've had in.
Yeah.
So you weren't racing around writing songs in your teens or anything like that?
No, I wasn't. No, I had no idea and had no inclination either.
What about learning instruments? Were you being taught anything?
Oh, look, like every other high school student, we did recorder and, as I say, I did guitar, but never formally. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've done vocally is I've been with a couple of vocal teachers over the years, one probably about 30 years ago and probably more recently, about 5 years ago, I did a couple of years with Sandy Britton, who's a singing teacher in the Barossa Valley. Okay. Yeah, so just to sort of, build some more confidence around my voice and learn some more technique.
Yeah, how do you find it? How do you find singing training?
A challenge.
How?
Again, because a bit later in life, you've got some habits that are hard to shake, and it's a bit like my guitar playing too. And it's one of those things that I'd like to learn more about is some of the more formal techniques and try and get rid of some of the bad habits that I have. But it gets me by. It gets me by.
Great. Did you have to be very self-disciplined and to practice every day?
Tried to, yes.
Yeah.
We have four children, so you know, when I did singing lessons, you know, during those years, that was quite difficult. But we were busy.
And what about the household growing up? What sort of music were you exposed to by parents? You were talking about some of the jazz that you were listening to before. Yeah. Did that come from parental?
Yep. Well, being a baby boomer, I guess we were always exposed to some of the, you know, the wartime songs that our parents perpetually sang around the house. Or if you went away on holidays and you had your 4-hour trip on holidays, you know, that's what you did in the car to entertain you. You sang along with mum and dad, you know, so I could probably sing It's a Long Way to Tipperary back to front for you, because we learnt those sorts of songs.
It might be interesting, actually.
Yeah. My dad had a good voice. And mum had a reasonable voice too, but neither of them formally trained or anything like that. We just did a lot of singing.
Great. Mm. Did you always sing with your dad when you were young? Sing along?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And they were a fan of folk songs as well?
No, he was, I'm just trying to think, more recently, he probably would have, in his day, he would have been into some of the big jazz standards like Frank Sinatra and, you know, Dean Martin when he was doing a bit of singing and stuff like that. So we used to do a lot of belting out of songs and stuff.
Very interesting.
But I'm probably, one of four children and I'm probably the only one that's sort of gone on with anything a bit musical. I used to have a sister that we used to sing great harmonies and stuff together, but she no longer loves to do that, so.
Well, here on Songcatcher, it's just gone 9:30, so the time's bearing down upon us, and I think we're supposed to hear another live song.
Another song, and it's going to be another live one, I believe, live in the studio. We're being blessed with some live music. This one's called Tonight.
This one is, you'll be aware that the Scala Foom Festival is on at the moment, and this is the song that I entered into the Foom this year and in Heat 1, and I'm through to the final in later in August, so that's lovely. And this is the song that I entered into that competition.
There's a one
warmth in my heart as I breathe in this place, like your welcoming arms that fill me with grace. There's a truck heading out past the old shearing shed. Winter rains wash out the valley in lines I should have said. This homestead love lies empty. It's full of all our sounds. I close my eyes just one last time. Feel you all around. This homestead love lies empty. It's full of all our sounds. I close my eyes one last time. Feel you all around tonight. Tonight.
That's tonight.
Sue Baker.
And if you'd like to hear that song live, I think it's going to be played at the final of the Festival of Original Music at the Wee Chief Hotel. Is it? 23rd of August. So, and you will need to book a ticket for that one, I think.
And just a reminder that Mixtape tonight will be playing the winners from last year's Foom on the latest Scala CD that's just been prepared and about to be released very shortly, so we managed to sneak a few tracks from that, and we'll be listening to that, and maybe next year we'll be listening to Sue Baker's track on the next Scala CD.
Is that why we got the security guys out there back there? Where did you get that stuff? How did it get out? It's time for the talk about song here on Songcatcher, where we little segment where we talk about the writing of a particular song. And I think tonight's talk about song is the title track of the CD.
It is.
Bit of Earth. Mm-hmm. So what have you got to tell us about this one?
Well, I guess this one, and what I want to do first, I guess, is acknowledge the Kaurna people where we're meeting tonight, because there's something about what I tried to do in this song is to say how much I love this place, you know, and how much I love the land that we live on. But there's also this lovely counter with equating that with also the love of your life, you know, and the great intensity of both of those things. So, you know, most of my songs are always about love, and this one is too. And so I'm trying to... My aim in this song was always to talk about, you know, that we're here in this time, we're in this environment, we live in beautiful, beautiful places, and in lands that we call home. And so in a way, I'm not an Indigenous person, but a small part of me gets how our First Nations people and how they connect to their land. And I guess in my own way, I feel something akin to that. You know, in my own way.
When you've lived in the country particularly, I think that's a little bit stronger than in the city, but there's plenty of that in the city folks as well. There's doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Mm. Yeah, this is not being about in the countryside. This is about actually loving your country, loving nature and appreciating it. Yeah.
Is there a point where you got to realise that was an important part of your life?
It's probably only gelled, I think, as a thought in the last maybe 20 years. I'd certainly consider myself a bit of a greenie, so it's not hard to think about along conservation sort of lines, etc., that's been an important part of my life journey, I guess, is being very interested in things environmental. And so it seems natural, yeah.
I think you can be a greenie and you can be interested in all that ecological stuff without necessarily having a love for the land that you live in. It might sound a bit strange, but I think it's a different thing to be at, to feel at home and at one.
Oh, yeah, sure. I guess the other point is that I've lived in many homes. You know, as I said, I was raised in Sydney for a while, moved to South Australia and lived in many different places. And I guess we've always, and many people will say this too, that creating a place of home is something that is certainly very important to me. So we've always loved where we've lived.
Now I can hear the mother.
Ah, see. Can you? Yeah.
So did you feel like everywhere you live and you always had that sense of home?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. So what made you to have that feeling? Is it just the land you like or people around you?
Oh, well, it's people too, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I guess this song was mostly about trying to bring in this aspect of loving the land, mm-hmm. The place, the country. Mm-hmm. I wanted to express, you know, that intensity that I felt around that, and then equating it to then the intensity of someone that you love.
Great.
Yeah.
And nice with such a strong lyrical idea and in the song, is that where you started with lyrics?
Gosh, where do I start with songwriting? Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes we can even be out sometimes and I'll hear someone say something and I'll get my phone out and I'll write that down. You know, it sometimes can be just a small expression that you hear or someone will say something that's slightly a bit off cue or, you know, that it doesn't quite make sense, but it's interesting, you know, the way that the words roll around each other. So where this one started, I guess, is more about... it was more about sometimes a phrase starting and sometimes my songs, and this was one of them, I believe, where I actually found the first line. Okay. And interestingly, what happened with this one was I've actually... Some of you here have actually got the lyrics in front of you tonight, but, you know, when you're talking about rhyme and some of those technical parts of songwriting, this one fell out that each of the verses, the rhyme fell at the end of each of the lines. And I'd never sort of encountered that before, but it happened and it worked. And
well, triplets.
Yeah. So I'd never encountered that before, but it works nicely.
Great.
It just makes it a little bit odd, doesn't it? You know, it's sort of... You get to the third line and that's it. You're moving on to the next section.
That's right. And you look at it and you go, oh, gosh, look what's happened.
So creative serendipity.
Yeah.
Well, no, my pen didn't run out.
So you had the lyrics first and then you write the... And then you wrote the rhythm, like a
melody And it doesn't always happen that way either.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll just be mucking around with the guitar and... You know, some interesting phrasing will happen, and then I'll have to find something that goes along with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
This works very well, and because for this one, and you said the reason you sang is like about the land. You love the land, and you are thankful for the people, like Aboriginal people as well. So, have you had any chance you perform this to the Aboriginal?
No,
people?
I haven't yet. No.
Have you thought of it and to?
It's a great idea. And to share it.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
We'll have to have a chat to the Nunga Wonga team out the back.
Mm. Okay.
I think we should hear this song.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Indeed.
Look forward to that.
CD? Yep.
Moment feels so right, soaking up the warm rays of the light. Here beneath the sun, heat of summer calls me, there's nowhere left to run. Shaded by you near me, my thirst is overcome. smell the southern change beneath the sun. The red earth calls me near. It grinds me just the way that you do here. Deep inside my bones, settled by its waters, this place that is my home. In the turning tide, your heart was brought to me. Afloat upon its ocean like a rafted escapee, blown along by love across the sea. The space you fill within me stretches out my heart, but it's strong and big. Joys and love enough for a lifetime to come. Oh, 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 surrender to its beauty, cross mud and rock and sand. I love this bit of earth that is my land. I love this bit of earth that is my land.
Indeed. Great morning listening on your Saturday morning. Speaking of mornings, I think we've actually set a record tonight for the earliest songwriter that we've had so far on Songcatcher. Why do I say that? Well, many of the people we have on Songcatcher claim that the secret to writing songs is, of course, insomnia. But tonight, Songcatcher is a breakfast songwriter.
No, I sleep well.
Is it possible? It evidently is.
Yep. No, I don't lose sleep.
I thought breakfast was 3 p.m., wasn't it?
Sunday all-you-can-eat breakfast, I think.
Now in retirement, our breakfasts are getting later, for sure.
I guess that, you know, like we touched on it just before that song, which was A Bit of Earth, the title track from your CD of 2010 now. We sort of talked, I think it was, you know, fairly clear that that particular song started off with a lyrical idea and you developed that and then put that to music. Is that generally the way you work, and what kind of things actually get you inspired to write a song?
No, it's not necessarily always that way at all. So, sort of mentioned before, it's the other, you know, that I'll pick up the guitar and something will fall out of that, and then I'll sometimes say to those around me, I say, you know, what's that like? You know, what's happening in those sounds? You know, trying to somehow match the lyrical sense of what's coming out of the guitar and doing it that way around.
So do you think sometimes that guitar is expressing how you feel better than what your thoughts are at the time?
Yeah, that's right. Look, I don't try and force too much at all, so it's got to happen in its own way. Yeah. Every time I try and force songwriting, it doesn't end well. Yeah, and I get frustrated, so I tend to wait for it to come along.
But you do have, as we've heard already, a set time where you typically will stop and play. Mm-hmm. May not be the only time, but mm-hmm. you'll typically take yep. some time over breakfast.
Yep.
And Stan will have a morning concert.
Yes, that's right.
Does he get frustrated if instead of singing some of your songs and just practicing, you start noodling and mucking around with something writing and creative instead?
Oh, he'll let me know by walking up, going out to the garden, I guess. Yeah.
When are you going to get to the chorus? Well, in about an hour when I've written some lines for the verse.
Yeah, when the orchestra's finished doing the, you know, the release in the middle, yeah. Yeah. Look, songwriting's a bit of a mystery to me and... there's plenty of songwriters around that I admire and wonder how their process happens. I think about the great... I think the person songwriting that I admire the most currently is probably John Baker in South Australia. His lyrics are just extraordinary and you sort of wonder, you know, the inspiration that, you know, that must lead to some of the lyrics that are written by great people like John.
Mm. Yeah, you've listed some of your more current influences as being quite local, South Australian ones. Mm. There's quite a few in there.
Mm. Yeah. But we had better get on to the next song rather rapidly or we're going to run out of time.
Gosh.
Not that again.
Yeah, that again. It's the same old story.
We do it every week.
Every week?
Here we go again.
Okay, here... Well, no, here I go again.
Oh, okay. So we're going to have another live song in the studio.
Yep,
with Sue Baker and her guitar. And the song is called Here I Go Again.
This one's about putting your foot in it.
Landing right into your arms, odd way to meet. Here I go again, tongue-tied on my words, slipping over my consonants, making words you'd never heard. Hanging myself on a fine piece of twine, in my mouth, time after time. When will I finally learn? When will I finally turn over a new leaf, baby? Crowding into your comfort zones, lurking in your mind. Here I go again, trying far too hard, creating pandemonium, wrestling with your heart. Hanging myself on a fine piece of twine, foot in my time after time. When will I finally learn? When will I finally turn over a new leaf, baby?
Here I go again. Can you imagine Sue Baker stumbling over her words and getting her consonants all mixed up like that song described? Difficult to believe, I know.
Okay, Sue, have you got any gigs coming up? Are people able to see you play anywhere in the near future?
Yeah, I have a regular once a month at a little cafe in Tanunda called Red Door Espresso. So we're there again next week. I think it's on Sunday. No, it's Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday this coming week. Then it quietens down a little bit, but often they pop up, but regulars here and there.
And how do people keep in touch with when they might pop up?
Oh, I'm a bit of a social media butterfly. I tend to put most stuff up on Facebook. You can find me at the tag at Sue Baker
Music.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Sue Baker Music. Or on Instagram, Sue Baker Songwriter. You can find me there. And I normally post up every little venue and gig that's happening.
And as we mentioned before, just one song you'll be able to see on August the 23rd at the Weechi Hotel that evening for Scala's Festival of Original Music Final.
What a great thing, yep.
Yeah, it should be a whole pile of fun.
Okay. Any plans for the future recording? Is that
definitely. I'm hoping that I'll aim for that for next year.
For next year?
Yes.
And was your band in tow the time you did
No,
Bit of Earth?
It wasn't. No.
So you've got something new to explore there too.
Yes, absolutely.
And you might need a whip to keep the boys in order.
And girl.
Oh, and girl. Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah, food normally does it. Yes, yeah. We have a running joke in the band that they'll do anything for me so long as I feed them. Yeah,
well, that sounds like a good way to go.
And I want to go too.
So it doesn't sound like a joke to me.
No, I don't think it was a joke at all, Adrian.
We now call rehearsals chicken curry.
Uh-huh. Good. Okay, well, we have to announce the last song and get out of here, folks.
And remember, the Scala Firm competition is on this week at Scala and every week for the next few weeks, and you get to see lots of original songs. But yes, we're going out with a song called Stuck in My Head, which is another track from your album.
Thank you. Ciao.
Thanks for coming
in,
Sue.
Thank you.
Need you to know, you're stuck in my head, stuck in my head, stuck in my head. It's under my skin, you make me faint. You know it's a sin when with you I ain't. You under my skin, under my skin, under my skin. Honey, what am I supposed to do on this one-way street of love? Stop at the red light or green light, take off. I need your direction, loving and affection. Show me a sign and give me some attention, baby. You're beating my heart, you stay on my mind. You tear me apart when you act like you're blind. You're beating my heart, you're the air that I breathe. You're giving me life, no, don't ever leave. Don't give me strife, you're the air that I breathe, air that I breathe, air that I breathe. Honey, what am I supposed to do on this one-way street of love? Stop at the red light or green light, take off. My head.
the times you lived through, the people you shared those times with. Nothing brings it all back to life like an old mixtape.
And the music that they're making is serious for my heart. It's brand new. It ain't the same old like all the stories go.
And welcome to another mixtape. It's just